Now this chapter that we have read tonight, this portion of the chapter, contains not only a parable directed to the Jews on that occasion, but also a prophecy. It is both a parable and a prophecy foretelling the actions and the events that would soon take place in Jerusalem in a matter of days. The Lord here in the parable speaks of this vineyard owner who plants the vineyard and he lets it out, he leases it out to husbandmen, and he goes into a far country. And in the process of time, he sends his servants to receive the profits or the fruit of the vineyard. But they are killed and stoned and beaten. And last of all, he sends his son, saying to himself, they will reverence my son. But when they saw the son come, they recognized him as the heir. And they thought to themselves, if we kill him, then we will seize this vineyard for ourselves. Now in giving this parable, the Lord was not only giving them a parable, but he was also setting before them a prophecy that would very soon be fulfilled in Jerusalem. This was applied directly to the Jews, to those leaders, those chief priests and Pharisees who were assembled on that occasion. And in a short time, they would become guilty of what the Lord was speaking of in this parable. They would slay, they would kill the Lord of glory. The Lord Jesus was unveiling those things, those events that were going to take place when the people would crucify the Messiah. You can see there those words in verse 39, and they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. That was a graphic portrayal of what was going to take place in a very short time. They would arrest him. They would cast him out. And they would slay him. They would kill him. The parable brings before us tonight the fact that the Lord Jesus knows all things. It is a wonderful display of his deity, and in particular, his omniscience. The fact that he knows all things. He knows all things about the past. He knows all things about the present. And he knows all things with regard to the future. There is nothing hid from the mind of the Lord Jesus. He knows everything. And he knew exactly what was going to take place. Furthermore, not only does he know all things that take place in this world, but he knows the hearts of men. He knows the hearts of all men. And that is a manifestation of his deity. For the Bible tells us that no man knows the heart of another man. God alone knows the heart. And yet the Lord Jesus was able to uncover and unveil the desires, the intentions, the motives of the hearts of the men who were standing before him on that occasion. He reveals their intention. Their intention was to kill him. And that's what they would do in a short time. The Lord reveals the future here. And he reveals their hearts. And he reveals his own lot. He would die at the hands of the Jewish leaders in a matter of days. And therefore he speaks this word, this parable, unto them on this occasion. You could not have any more relevant message than this message that the Lord spoke to the people on that occasion. It taught them, it impressed upon them, it brought to their attention a number of vital truths that we must consider. The first is that in this parable, the Lord emphasizes the fact, the great fact, that the Lord speaks to men. The Lord speaks to men. Look at verse 45. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. He spake of them because he was speaking to them. In verse 42, Jesus saith unto them. Verse 43, therefore say I unto you, I say. It's an indication that the Lord of glory was speaking to the sons of men. Here was an occasion when God spoke to men. I've emphasized the fact tonight that there is a clear demonstration of the deity of Christ. The fact that he knows all things, all events, and he knows what's in the hearts of men. That is the attribute of deity. Here is God manifest in flesh, and he's speaking to man. He's speaking to man. Paul tells us in his letter to the Hebrews that God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. God incarnate in the flesh, condescending, stooping down in order to speak to men and women. They perceived that he spake of them. Now that in itself is a rich blessing. When the Lord of glory, when the creator of all things, the infinite, eternal, unchangeable, the almighty God condescends to talk to men, to speak to men, that is a rich blessing. It is a marvelous mercy, a great mercy. The psalmist David in Psalm 28 recognize that the silence of God to man is a mark of eternal judgment. Be not silent to me, he says, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down to the pit. What is the mark of a condemned man? What is the mark of a damned soul? It is the silence of God to that man. Do you remember what will take place in a very short time when the Lord is caught, when he's arrested, and they bring him before the Sanhedrin, before the high priest, and then to Pilate? Pilate will send him to Herod, and Herod desired to hear the Lord Jesus. He had heard many things of him. He desired to hear him, but the Bible says he answered him not a word. The Lord Jesus was silent when he stood before Herod. And the reason why he was silent was because the Lord had already sent a messenger in the person of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was the Lord's messenger. And John said to Herod, you have sinned against God. You must repent of your sin. But Herod would not listen. Instead, he listened to the suggestion of his wife, give me the head of John Baptist on a charger. And while Herod regretted that decision, he nevertheless complied with it. And John the Baptist was executed. And the moment that he was executed, Herod silenced the voice of God to his soul forever. And when God incarnate came and stood before Herod, he had nothing to say to him. He was silent. And therefore, when the Lord comes and the Lord speaks to men and women, it must be perceived, it must be recognized as a great mercy, a great blessing. When the Lord speaks to men, it may not always be what they wish to hear or what they want to hear, but it will be the truth. And if that truth is received meekly, then it will profit those men eternally. What the Lord said in this parable on this occasion was not what they wanted to hear. He speaks of their sin. He speaks of their wickedness. He unveils their hearts. But had they listened to him, and had they taken to heart what he said, that message of God to them would have been to their eternal blessing. What a great mercy it is when God speaks, even when that message smites the conscience, when that message comes as a sharp two-edged sword and it pierces the soul. It is a mercy from God. It is a blessing that cannot be estimated highly enough. The Lord speaks to men. That's the reality. But you'll notice furthermore in this parable on this occasion that when the Lord speaks to men, he inquires of men if they have listened. He inquires of men if they have read his word. Did you notice that in verse 42? The Lord said, Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures? And this time the focus is placed upon the written word. The word scripture there coming from the Greek language, which has the idea of writing. Because what God has spoken, that word that has proceeded from the mouth of God, the spoken word has been transmitted to writing, to the scriptures. And the scriptures tonight are the word of God to man. And now the Lord Jesus holds up the written word and he says to the men standing before him, have ye never read? Have you read the scriptures? This is the word of God to man. And the Lord, in giving his word, inquires of men, have you read? Have you read? Oh, that's a great treasure. The Bible is God's voice to man. People say, I need to hear an audible voice. No, you don't. When you open this book, that's the voice of God. That's the voice of God. And what a great treasure that is. The Jews were especially privileged, and the Apostle Paul highlights that in Romans chapter 3. And he asks the question in the opening verses of that chapter, what advantage has the Jew? What profit is there in being a descendant, a natural descendant of Abraham? And the answer he gives in verse 2 is this: much every way. He's profited on every side. But here's the chief reason why he stands in such a profitable position. Because that unto them were committed the oracles of God, the word of God. They were given the word of God. The word of God was given through men from the Jewish nation. And under the inspiration and supervision of the Spirit of God, that spoken word was transmitted to writing. And now the Lord on this occasion, he holds up the scriptures to that generation and he says, have you read? Have you read the scriptures? God's voice to man. God's word to man. What a treasure that will enrich the soul for all eternity. And the Lord has to inquire, have you read it? Because when you read this wonderful book, this tremendous treasure, you will not find anything trivial in it. No, this Bible speaks of high and lofty matters. Verse 42, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. This Bible that God has given, this Word of God speaks of that great plan of salvation in the gift of God's dear Son. In the Hebrew language, it's very interesting to note that the word stone can also be translated as son. And we could read it like this: the son which the builders rejected. And is that not the background of the parable? I will send my son. They will reverence, surely they will reverence my son. But the son was rejected. And the Lord quotes now from Psalm 118, the son which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. And in the rejection of the son whom God has sent, the Lord has wrought a great work, a marvelous work. He has raised his son from the dead and made him the head over all things. The great King of salvation. This Bible speaks of great things, marvelous things. God's great plan of redemption, God's provision of salvation in the person of his Son through his death at Calvary. But the Lord has to ask, did you never read? Did you never read? I wonder tonight if the Lord walked through the streets of Ballyclare, I wonder would he have to say to men, have you ever read this book? Have you ever read it? Did you never read the great plan of redemption? The wonderful story of God's salvation. You see, the Lord has not only spoken to man, but in speaking to man, he must further inquire, have you read what I've said? Have you read? And alas, there are many who have never read, who never take time to open the book of God and to read of these high and lofty matters that bring salvation to the soul. But let's go a little bit further, for not only has the Lord spoken to men, and not only does he inquire if men have read his word, but added to that, the Lord in his great mercy sends men to explain his word. That's brought out in the parable. You can see the servants of this vineyard owner are sent. When the time of fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And now on this occasion, in the case of the Jews, the father sends his son. And what does the son appear to do? On this occasion, he explains the word. He explains it in the form of a parable. And what is he saying to the Jewish nation? He's saying, I have given you rich privileges designed to enrich you. Here is that image of the vineyard. And all around there's barren ground, wasteland, thorns and thistles. But the vineyard owner has planted a vineyard. The soil is cultivated. It's given the best ingredients. It's hedged round about, protected. What the Lord was saying to the nation was this: the Lord has taken the Jewish nation and set the Jewish nation apart. When all around the Gentile nations are in barrenness and dearth and deadness, the Lord has blessed the nation of Israel with rich privilege, with the word of God. But now he comes seeking fruit. He comes seeking a response. The fruit of faith and repentance, a heart that believes the Lord and loves him and receives his word. You can see how the Lord in this occasion explains that wonderful message of the Father's gift of the Son. The vineyard owner sends his son, even though the servants have been beaten and killed, yet he persists. This time he sends his son. And is that not the very heart of the gospel? God gave his only begotten son, the gift of a Savior. And the Lord explains here the responsibility, what it is the Lord is looking for of men. He is looking for them to reverence my Son, to receive him, to honor him, to love him, receive him. This is the responsibility of man. You can see it so clearly. The Lord is explaining this revelation of divine truth, bringing it right down to a level that the mind of man can contemplate and perceive and understand. The Lord impressing this gospel message. There it is. The great provision God has made. The gift of a son. The responsibility of man to receive him and reverence him and trust him. Not only has the Lord spoken, not only does the Lord inquire if we have read his word, but the Lord gives the explanation. The Lord explains his word. But you'll notice here that while men may to some degree perceive the voice of God, they can continue to resist and rebel. Verse 45, and when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, what a blessing! They had heard his voice. They had heard his voice, and that message contained the way of life, the way of salvation. He brought it right down to a simple level. And they recognized this. They perceived that he spake of them. But. They sought to lay hands on him. They knew that the Lord was speaking to them. They knew that the Lord's message was directed to them, but they would not repent. They continued in hardness of heart. They continued to oppose him. They were conscious of their responsibility, conscious of the obligation that he was laying upon them, but they refused to change. We must not simply relate this parable to the Jewish nation, because it is also applicable to Gentiles. Men who hear the word of God, men who have the word of God in their mother tongue, who have the possession of the Bible, who have it explained, and who know to some degree that God is speaking to them, yet it is possible for such a privileged person to continue in a spirit of resistance and rebellion against the Lord. They perceived, but they sought to lay hands on him. And so the Lord emphasizes here that while this is a great privilege that God gives that will enrich the soul if the word is received meekly, yet when the word of God is despised, neglected, one day that privilege will be removed. Verse 43, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof, taken away, given to someone else. And that's exactly what happened in the case of the Jewish nation, that nation that was lifted on high, so blessed, so profited, so advantaged, even to have God incarnate in their midst. And yet, they rejected him, and the Lord took those privileges away and gave them to others. It's not only true on a national level, but it's true on an individual level. A person may hear God speak to him, to her. And what a blessing that is. Revealing the way of salvation, setting before man his responsibility to get right with God. And yet when that message is despised and the heart continues in resistance against God, that soul is placed in a state of great peril and great jeopardy, because the Lord can take away the privilege and give it to someone else. What did Solomon say? He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. Yes, the privilege given, the voice of God to a soul, calling him to repentance, but continuing in sin, the blessing removed, the privilege taken away, and the soul handed over to judgment. I say unto you, therefore, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. A solemn, solemn warning that is borne out in the history of the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel has been cut off. Gospel has gone to the ends of the earth. The Lord gathering in the Gentiles, those in the barren lands round about the vineyard. The kingdom of God taken away and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. The psalmist said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. God is speaking. Spoken unto us by his Son, he speaks to us through his word. And this word deals with great things, the way of salvation, your responsibility. Do not reject. Do not resist. Do not rebel. Do not harden your heart. But rather hear his voice. Hear, and your soul shall live. Hear, and submit to him, and your soul shall live. Jesus saith unto them. The Lord was speaking to them, and they failed to see the privilege therein. May that not be the case with any in this meeting tonight. But may you recognize when the Lord draws near, what a great blessing, what a great mercy that is. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. For the day will come and the gospel privilege will be taken away. Let's turn in closing to 279 tonight in the hymn book. 279, and we'll sing this hymn, "Pass me not, O gentle Saviour, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." 279, we'll stand together as we sing and ponder these words as we sing them, and tonight seek the Lord while he may be found. 279.